Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to continue. This is part 2 of the message I started last time. Not last week, but two weeks ago. Preparing for the Savior. And we talked about John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And tonight we have another individual we're going to look at. Here in Luke chapter 1, and so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you're physically able, Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. As we look again about another person, like I said, last week we talked about John the Baptist and the preparation. And of course, in this passage, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, is mentioned. And the relationship there, Mary and Elizabeth are cousins, and so this is a kind of a family thing. But as we look to this idea of preparing for the Savior, I want us to look at some things in Mary's life as she tried to process all this information, okay? And let me just say this to us all, that as far as Christianity is concerned, as far as the Word of God is concerned, can I just say, it's a lot to process. There's a lot to process. And by the way, it's not hard to be saved. God doesn't want it to be difficult. He wants anyone to be able to have salvation. But can I tell you something? That's not the difficulty. The difficulty is then living the Christian life. There's a lot of things to process, all right? And so as we talk about preparing for the Savior, we know, if you will, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, but we need to continually be preparing our hearts to live and to be what the Savior wants us to be. You understand that Mary had an opportunity. She had lived a life, if you will, that was in favor with God. The angel wouldn't come to her and lie, right? Mary, you've been wicked. Mary, you've been away from God. Mary, you've not followed the commandments. You've not been a good child of Israel, and because this is what God had written down in His book, you've found favor with God. No, that wouldn't be how it is, right? She obviously was living a life that was pleasing to the Lord. And so you understand that Mary was already, if you will, prepared. Now let me just give you a little bit of background. In the Hebrew culture, you have to understand that from, if you will, the beginning of things, they knew that the Savior was coming, Messiah was coming. Remember when Jesus talked with Nicodemus, he said, you're a ruler of Israel, you're supposed to know these things. And by the way, they had synagogue, they had the scriptures. As little ones were born into families, they were taught the scriptures. And by the way, little Jewish girls were taught that one day, one of them would be the mother of the Savior. They knew this. Okay, this was not a mystery. So here we have a if you will, a good little Jewish girl. She had been preparing herself because that's what all good little Jewish girls did. And this is the one that God chose to accomplish this purpose because the fullness of time had come. And Mary was the one, and she was highly favored of the Lord. And she had found favor with God, and God had chosen her to be the one to bear Jesus Christ. And so I hope you understand that as we prepare ourselves for the Savior, Mary had prepared herself. She was pure and holy and just and upright and righteous before God, the best that she knew how to be. And by the way, God doesn't expect anything more than us than our best. He just expects our best. And guess what God got from Mary? Her best. You say, how do you know? God said so. She was highly favored of the Lord. She was the one chosen to bear the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that God has done this great thing in her life because she had been prepared. Does God want to do something great in our lives? Yes. So what do we need to do? Be prepared. You know, a lot of times in our world today, we have little sayings or cliches or things like that. If you want something done, you give it to somebody who's not doing anything, right? That's what they always say, don't they? No, it's not what they say. They always say, if you want something done, give it to the guy who's already doing something. Right? Because he's going to get it done. And he or she, they're going to accomplish it because why? Because they're a busy person. By the way, God deals with us kind of similarly, if you will. You say, well, I'm just kind of kicking back and waiting for God to do something in my life. That's not how it works. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We need to be diligent about the Lord's business. We don't need to be slothful. There's all kinds of principles against that, right? We need to be serving, working, by the way, even more because the time is at hand. So God wants us to be prepared for his work. Let's look at a few things that Mary said. As she thinks about this, she's one of the first things that is noticed here is that God can do anything. Notice what she said. She's talking with the angel, and she tells in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now it's not wrong to have questions in life. And it's not wrong to wonder what God's going to do. But we have to, once we figure out, or if God lets us know what he's going to do, we have to accept it. I like her answer in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Why was she able to say that? Because she had prepared herself for the Savior. She knew that there was going to be a woman that was going to bear the Son of God, but she was having a hard time grasping the fact that it was now her that this was going to happen to. The angel explained it, and guess what? She said, "That's impossible. That can't be done. I've been through biology class. This ain't working." Okay? No, she didn't say that at all, did she? She said, "Okay, whatever you say, then let it be done. I'm a party to this. I'm going to accept this responsibility, if you will. In our lives, we may not understand why God is doing something or how God is going to do something. We just need to say, behold, I'm here. I'm here. You understand that all through the Bible, we have people that were willing to do whatever God had them to do. I love how the Philippian jailer pops into the prison after everything happened and Paul and Silas cry out, and he just simply says, what must I do to be saved? You know what? That's the attitude we need to have. That's the attitude Mary had. That's the attitude a guy like David had when he said, is there not a cause? And he goes out and he goes to the king and says, look, that something has to be done, so I might as well do it. You know what? What does God have for you to do? What does God have in your life for to be done for Him? We need to be ready and willing to do it. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is our guide. It's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. And we need to listen to the Word of God. And if you will, you say, but this is the word of an angel. This is Gabriel speaking. Yes, many believe. It says his name was Gabriel, right? The angel Gabriel in verse 26. And you understand that he was sent to give this message. Guess whose message it was? God's. Gabriel didn't make it up on the way over. You know, this was God's message, because Gabriel's just the messenger, right? He didn't write the message. He's just giving it. And so you understand, God has given us his message. We have the word of God. We need to just say, let it be according to thy word. That's what needs to be done in our lives. Why are we fighting what God wants from us? You say, well, but God hasn't called me. Oh, really? Did you know that God has, if you will, called the common Christian to a lot of things? But we fight it. We say, you know what? Well, I'm just not ready for that right now. But think about this. She's engaged, if you will, to Joseph. And if you want to study a little bit more about the Jewish culture, I'd encourage you to do that and how they went about this stuff. But they had, if you will, no kind of physical relationship during this time. You understand that? That's very important. And she's probably younger. And by the way, I was almost 26 years old when I got married. These young people back in those days, they got married a lot younger. Okay, probably before they're 20 years old. And so she's probably hearing this. And you can imagine she's going through all these emotions and all these thoughts. And she's probably thinking, this is not a good time for this to happen. I'm already espoused. I'm already engaged to someone. I don't think I can endure this scandal. By the way, how do you explain that to someone? I'm pregnant, but I didn't do anything. Sure. I mean, right, because who's going to believe her? Had this happened before? No. Okay? And do you think that they would believe, oh, yeah, she's the one that God chose? Sure. I mean, you understand all the things, right? And she's probably thinking, no, I don't think this is a good time for this. Why don't you pick somebody else? Folks, I'm just trying to illustrate how we are in our lives. God lays something upon our heart, or we read through the scriptures and we're supposed to do something for the Lord, and we just say, you know what? I don't think it's a good time for this right now. I've got this and this and this and this and this going on. Let me give you a good example. I know of a man that was called to be a missionary in his 20s. Guess when he surrendered and went to the field? In his late 50s. 30 years wasted. Because he said, I wasn't ready. And guess what he says every time he has a meeting, every time he talks to people, and every time, and by the way, he's successfully on the field, but I want you to know, he has regret for those 30 years. Because he said to God, well, not just now. But he also rejoices that God still let him go after all this time. Can I tell you something? We need to be prepared. And we need to be like Mary and say, let it be according to thy word. Folks, we're supposed to be a witness. We're supposed to be a lighthouse. And guess what? Not when you have time or not when you feel like it. It's supposed to be all the time. We're supposed to be faithful to church. By the way, we're supposed to be faithful so much the more as we see the day approaching. Hey, we're supposed to be a good manager, a good steward of what God has given to us. Our time, our talents, our treasure, everything. We don't own anything, folks. He owns it all. We just get to be managed. And guess what? We need to do it now because that's what God has told us we need to do. We need to live for the Lord. We need to be, as the Bible says, a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service to the Lord. And we need to do it today, not tomorrow. I'm good at putting things off. How about you? Huh? Yeah, this is something we shouldn't put off. By the way, could you imagine what this story would be like if Mary said, you know what? This is too much for me. I'm going to pass. By the way, here's a thing to think about. You know how much I love to sit in my office and think about things. I thought about this. How many Marys were told before Mary? You ever thought of that? Now, this is not biblical, okay? I'm not trying to add to the Bible. But you ever thought about that? Do you suppose that perhaps maybe God tried other people first? I've just thought about that. It could be, couldn't it? And maybe not. But isn't that interesting? Because think with me. Do you suppose there was only one Hebrew girl that was qualified for this? I don't think so. But she's the one that said yes. She's the one that said, let it be according to thy handmaid. By the way, that was all just my opinion, supposition. I'm not going to speak extra biblical or anything like that, okay? But I want you to think about that because here's what happens. People say no to God all the time. So maybe, you know what he's going to do? He'll go down the line and say, well, maybe if you won't answer, then I'll call this person. Or I'll call this person. Because guess what? His purpose is going to be done. There are missionaries, pastors, evangelists, teachers, pastors' wives, missionaries' wives, people that need to serve the Lord, soul winners, church members, Sunday school teachers, piano players, choir members, worship leaders. Need it all over. Are you going to say yes? Are you going to say no? We need to be prepared for the Savior. The Word of God is our guide. We need to listen to what it says. And by the way, we need to not only be hearers, but doers of the Word as well. And then the last thing I want to look at tonight, and very quickly, I just want you to look, because I'm going to talk about more about this next week. But look at verse 46. In verses 39 to 45, Mary goes to the hill country and visits her cousin because now they have something, really have something in common. Okay? This is kind of amazing. And she's going to go see for herself. And of course, I love how this happens and all these things. And when the salutation in verse 44, the babe leapt in her womb for joy. And so that's a pretty cool thing. That happened there between Elizabeth and Mary and John and Jesus and all that stuff. It's very, very cool how all that went down. But I want you to look at what she says in verse 46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You know, as Mary prepared herself, not only was she holy and righteous and pure and doing things that she's supposed to do. And not only did she listen to the word of what God had said and accept it, but she also gave God all the glory for what was being done in her life.
she didn't go around flaunting the fact that God had chosen her. That she was the one. I don't think you really understand how big of a deal this was. This, like I said, this was taught in their culture. This was something that, if you will, Israel had been waiting for. And she was the, she, okay, I know this is a bad, I probably shouldn't even say this, but she won the lottery. And she didn't play the lottery, she was the one chosen. I mean, who would be honest, who would be proud of that? I mean, right? I mean, I wouldn't, because I'm not going to be bearing any children. Okay, that was supposed to be really funny, but I thought it was funnier in my head than I guess it was for you. But no, I mean, hello, that's exciting. And by the way, couldn't she have gotten a little bit snooty about that? She had friends, right? More than likely. Hey, Sally, you know what happened to me last week? You know the thing that we have all been waiting for? God picked me. I mean, come on, that's not too far-fetched. Is it? Don't think so. But what did she focus on? My soul doth magnify the Lord. She gave all the glory to God. She gave all the honor to God. The thing that had been done in her, she gave God all the credit. There was nothing that she did. And by the way, even Elizabeth, being filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 42, she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And by the way, she could have taken the credit. But even to her cousin, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Folks, when things happen to us, when God blesses us, when God, if you will, exalts us for serving Him, we need to put that effort and that energy into magnifying our God. He's the one to be extolled. He's the one to be blessed. He's the one to be praised, because it's Him and not us. It's His work that's done in our hearts. It's His work that's done in our lives. And by the way, the fruit that I'm able to produce serving the Lord, that's His fruit, not my fruit. And if we're going to prepare for the Savior, we have to prepare our hearts that way. Psalmist says in Psalm 107 many times, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Folks, we should praise the Lord for His goodness. We should praise the Lord for His wonderful works to the children of men. And the psalmist said, oh, that men would praise Him. That means that some men don't. Some people keep all the credit, all the glory for themselves, and it belongs to God. God's the one that deserves the glory. God's the one that deserves the praise. In closing, I want to read to you a passage out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. Paul says to the Corinthians, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Isn't that truth? And that's how Mary responded. She said, hey, I'm just an earthen vessel. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of me. He goes on to say, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why? Because of God. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I think that really explains really well what Mary thought in her heart and how she felt in her life as she prepared for the Savior. And as we look ahead, and we have just about around 9 or 10 days until we actually celebrate Christmas, we need to prepare ourselves as we prepare to celebrate the coming of our Savior.